Happy New Year. It's January 3rd.
2021.
Lord, we ask for your blessings on the service today. We ask for your blessings on the communion portion of the service, that we would have a revelation of what that communion is, what the bread and the wine, what that is. Lord, to the extent that it's you, O Lord, that we would have a revelation of that, to the extent that it is symbolic of you, Lord, that we would have a picture of that by your Spirit, and that otherwise your truth would flow today, flow from our mouths, flow into our ears, O Lord, and that we would become more like you. We ask for your blessings on the upcoming year, Lord, that we would grow in you, and that your hand of protection would be upon us, O Lord, your hand of healing, O Lord.
Yes.
Oh, by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 Say something if you hesitate. Three more seconds.
Go for it.
Well, I was sitting here and I was thinking about communion. And this thing came and I thought, you know, communion is what it's for, is that we're totally relating to the humanity of Christ. Blood, body. And see, if it was communion with God, you wouldn't have that. You can't. And so, because he did what he did, it's to identify with him. You know, and all of a sudden, that just was a little more clear this morning in that I felt the Spirit brought. And God, I mean, sent a son for that reason, you know, and that he would identify, or we would identify with him, and he would be as us, you know. I mean, you know, of course, he had some characteristics better than us, but that's mm-hmm. not the point. Because the whole thing of what he did on the cross and everything else actually takes away that separation with him. He's provided a way for us to be like him, you mm-hmm. know. Now, we don't get there as quick as he did, but it's there. It's there for us to have. So I just thought, I'm going to think about that more now this morning if we have communion. So
mm-hmm.
that's my
That's good. That's good. The way that we are called to be one with him, and not in just some kind of ethereal spiritual, you know. Hey, that stuff there is real physical stuff. It's wet. It will be in our tongue. We'll feel it, you know. It is in that kind of way, that in a material, real way, that we are to be one with him. And that we would somehow know that. And of course, it is spiritual, but it is also physical, a thing, tangible. Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about communion all week long. It's just been on my heart, and I've looked up scriptures and I've looked up different things, you know, and it was like it. The Lord was just impressing upon my heart and going, this is just an awesome gift. And to look upon it as a gift, not as upon like a duty, you know, we need to have communion, we need to do this. And it was like he was talking to me saying, you know, people struggle so much with, you know, eat my body and drink my blood. I mean, that whole concept just makes, you know, people shiver. at the, you know, like, that's kind of gross. How can you believe in something that's going to ask you to do something like that? And he just put it upon my heart that he gave us these gifts of the wine and the bread so the Holy Spirit could live in us with when we partake that, because when he left, he said he's going to leave the Comforter behind. So it was almost like he was reassuring me that he wasn't going to just leave us in the lurch. He's like, I'm going to leave you, and not only with the blood and my body, but the Comforter is going to be something of a, and it was almost like a, I want to say symbolic, but that's always a bad word, but I can't quite remember, but it was like, these are gifts. The Comforter is a gift. The partaking of the wine and the bread is a gift, just so you keep remembering how much I'm in you. And by doing this, you just keep showing me your love over and over again. And in turn, it helps him to show us his love over and over again. Like you said, it's an awesome gift. It's a gift of love and remembrance and communion and like almost like putting on the armor of God, but it's an internal thing, and that we can start this. And I just somehow want to, you know, my heart was just like starting the new year with the blood and the and my body. So mm-hmm. I've just been thinking on it, and that's just what God's just impressed upon me.
That is a good way of thinking about it as being a gift. And you mentioned here, Susan, that, I mean, he did ascend to heaven. One of my themes has been, hey, what he says, eat my body, drink my blood, in some kind of sense, it must mean he wants us to eat his body and drink his blood. Even as you were mentioning, Susan, that's not a real appealing thought. But it does have to be taken in conjunction with the fact that, well, it can't be literal because he is ascended to heaven. So there requires a kind of a joining of heaven and earth before there could be. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to worry too much about cannibalism. You know, he is, after all, he's ascended.
Yeah. It's again, to me, an act of faith. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, so often we are always asked, you know, how do you prove your faith? How do you see your faith? How do you, you know, it's faith. It's just faith in so many different areas of our lives. There's such a call to have the faith. And I think this is just another opportunity for each of us to individualize our own faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
Well, in the sixth chapter of John, it doesn't appear that he went to any great detail to explain what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it says, and from that point, many of those disciples left him and walked with him no more.
Right.
And I wondered about that. You know, there's a substance that's called faith. And God is expecting his people to believe by faith. And I don't think that I could use a lot of faith in the sixth chapter of John. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's almost like either believe it or don't believe it. Well, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it got to the point where Jesus turned to his own disciples and he says, are you going to leave me too? Mm-hmm. And Peter, the one that always makes these profound statements, says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And somehow Peter was taking these words with meaning. It's like faith came to Peter, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And faith has come to each one of us. Mm-hmm. And it's like people can say whatever they want. Well, I've seen too much besides, but faith keeps you active or keeps you involved no matter what the devil tries to do along the way. Yeah. And we have stubbornly. I mean, that's what people would call it. You know, you guys are stubborn. Why don't you come and face the facts? Face the science falsely so called by the world. You know, the world has looked at things and they have come up with their own knowledge based upon their eyesight, what they see. You know, and I know some people that have done that. Well, we can see that that's different. Well, you know what? You see a few of the things that God does that are miracles. And like Brittany was telling me the other day, where, you know, and God bless her. But she was sitting right there when God supernaturally healed Caden's foot. Right. She was just a foot away. And a little foot that was totally broken and crushed was immediately healed, and he was on the floor playing. Joanna was sitting there too. We all saw that. How much of that do you have to see? How many times do you have to see that? And so somebody comes along and says, well, you know, you're kind of stupid to believe what you believe. Well, I'd rather be stupid and have it end up right than be mm-hmm. intelligent and be stupid, and really be stupid.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about those people who come along with their words of wisdom and things like that, it just keeps reminding me of Job's friends.
Yeah. Yeah, Job's comforters.
Yeah, I mean, they were all had good intentions.
Yeah.
And
thought they were fake.
So I have been thinking a lot lately about, you know, we have the what they call the freedom of religion. And I'm not so sure that this country ever started out anywhere near what we call freedom of religion today. The Bible was a school book. Mm-hmm. And when they came over from wherever they came, they were using the Bible as we know it. And they wanted freedom to use it. For instance, the Muslims, they believe that they are Abraham is their father. Do you know why? Because Ishmael was his son.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And God, Abraham and had two sons mm-hmm. at that point. What people don't realize is after Sarah died, he had six more sons. In his old age. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think six or four. And but anyway, well, let me read something. Let me just read. This is the only place I can find it anywhere in the New Testament. And in the fourth chapter of Galatians, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is Hagar, it says here, but in the Old Testament, in Genesis, it says Hagar, with an H. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. But, you know, with the Jewish, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bears not, and break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. That kind of reminds you of Isaiah 66. Mm. For the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. But I'm reading that for a reason. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, were the children of promise. Not Ishmael, but Isaac. We are the children of promise. But as then was he that born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. And so listen to this verse. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Ishmael is not an heir with Isaac. And so by faith, we become Isaac becomes our father. We're in his lineage by faith. And so when we say, what's the difference? You know, in the Muslims or the Christianity, what's the difference? Well, I tell you, there's no difference if the Muslim will come to Christ. But if they don't, there's a lot of difference. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
If they'll come to Christ, and I tried to find that scripture this morning, I couldn't find it. But there's one, I think it's in Romans, where it says there's a veil over the eyes of Israel until they turn to Christ. Anyone familiar with it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could not find it. A curtain or a veil or something. Somebody has the right understanding of that. But as soon as they come to Christ, the veil is taken away. And at some point, there's going to be a real revealing to the people of Israel. I don't know when. I got a sneaking suspicion it's not too far away. I heard a prophecy. I don't know if what it was, but it was something by Benny Hinn, and I have never had a lot of confidence in Benny Hinn. And what happened a few months ago, I guess, he got on TV and he said that what he had been done, he was ashamed of doing. He was ashamed of. And milking people for money, and he's done a lot of that over the years. And does anyone know who, I think it's Mike Murdoch? Do you know who Mike Murdoch is?
Yes, I do.
Have you heard of him?
Yeah, he knows.
Yeah, he's a real milker.
Yeah.
And he rebuked Benny Hinn. Well, not too long ago, and I tell you what, if you could hear this guy and not be in tears, you're a lot better than me. But Benny Hinn told about a recent experience of what had happened. And somehow, I don't know if he heard a voice or what happened, but he said, I want to let you all know. He said, Jesus is coming a lot sooner than anyone here can imagine. He's coming soon. And by the time he was through with us, I thought, what a transformation in this old gray-haired guy. He don't look like he used to look. And I don't know if this is all on the up and up, but I would think it is. I believe it is. And so does Shelley. You know, she heard it. She said, I hear it. I listen to it about once a day, she said. But anyway, any other religion or anything else that finds any other way except through Jesus Christ is false. And I want to stand that way. I'm sorry, but Ishmael doesn't cut it. I didn't mean to bring it down there, but...
Yeah, well, let me respond a little bit, Keith. You know, as Brittany brought up, there are the tares and there are the wheat. And the separation occurs at the angels in, you know, in the fullness of time do the separating. In the meantime, the wheat has to kind of coincide or coexist with the tares. And who is it that's going to make the call? As to, no, Islam, you are in such terrible error that we're not going to let you practice your religion. Can't do it. It's wrong. I work for the government. And I don't think the government is capable of making the call, this is true, this is not true. So we're only going to tolerate the truth. I feel a whole lot more comfortable with the government saying, hey, we don't know, so we're just going to let it happen and sort itself out the way it's going to sort itself out. You know? Hey, the government starts making the call as to what's right and what's wrong. Well, they come in here. They say, what? You don't believe that Jesus is God? You are so obviously wrong, we're not going to permit you to continue to worship that way. That's not right. That's wrong. You know? My own feeling is let the Muslims, wrong as they are, let them go ahead and do whatever it is that Muslims do in this country. And then in the end, the angels will separate the tares and the wheat. But until that time, we got... Yeah. I don't know. That's the way I feel.
Okay. I didn't realize Keith, and I don't know that he was talking about government, but you took it that way.
Well, he's talking about freedom of religion.
Oh, was he? I missed that too, because I thought he just was talking about the one way to the Father, which was through Jesus, and so any of those other ways were wrong, which he's right. That is true. Jesus said he's the only way to the Father. I totally agree with you on as far as the country goes that, yeah, I mean, our call. They've tried to do that too many times in too many countries, and you don't get to the Lord that way.
No,
by law,
yeah,
by
I think
saying.
That's the way, yeah.
Yeah, but
the Lord has to do it. Yeah, I mean, he has to be the one to take it out because. Like you said, too many other countries have tried to take over what they thought shouldn't be there.
Right, right.
And that was not a good thing.
No, no.
You know, and it very well might be, you know, why this scripture was in here about the, you know, the good and the bad growing together, and it wasn't up to us to take it out.
That is really great. I
yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? And I took it in with Benny Hinn because I'm like, I never liked that man either. But what if someone would have tore him out? And now here God's doing the work of him towards the end. You know, I mean, so.
I didn't even know he was still around.
Yeah.
When I saw him on whatever it was I saw him on, I didn't recognize him.
Oh. Yeah.
Because his hair was all kind of messy and pure white and... I guess he kind of resembled Benny Hinn.
Benny's hair's a mess, then he's a new man.
Yeah. But anyway, it was not the Benny Hinn that was familiar with. And
you know, the message in that is to diligently continue to seek the Lord.
That is.
That's right.
I mean, there's a high profile person, and he didn't stop seeking the Lord. And the Lord, in his timing, got to Benny Hinn.
Right.
What the Lord wanted Benny Hinn to know and do. And so we should all be encouraged that even though he had a 40-year ministry or whatever, it's now the Lord's got a hold of him, and he's kind of seeing with clearer eyes.
Right, right. And then I said that about Benny Hinn, but I mean, it's like all of us. I mean, me too. I'm really glad I didn't get torn up and,
right.
You know, that gene, useless, whatever, you know, I'm really glad.
Right into the fire you go.
Right, right.
Well, it's kind of our ministry to separate the two things, especially for our kids' sake. You know, because they're going to be running into a lot of Muslim things, and it's getting worse. Minnesota is getting almost taken over by the Muslims. Until, remember when George Floyd was killed? The whole area around there, they turned over to the Muslim people as police. Are they still policemen there? Or does anybody know? But
Somalis.
Oh, Somalis.
But that's what that happened at one point. I know what you know.
Keith, you earlier mentioned about that scripture setting about veil and eyes.
Yeah.
The closest thing I could find to that is in 2 Corinthians 3. And I'll just read a couple of verses here. 2 Corinthians 3, starting in 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face.
Yeah, that's it.
That the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ.
Yeah, that's it.
But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
it. I just saw a little thing on YouTube from a guy that's say a Messianic Jew that's they've been reaching out in Israel and really having good results. I mean, it's like you said, it's, we don't know how soon that can happen. Well, there might be starting to be a little bit of an awakening there. And so, you know, I've never heard of the guy before or anything. I only heard that little blip. But it was kind of encouraging because it wasn't like they were getting totally turned down, you know. They were getting a lot of acceptance. People that wanted to, you know, because it's kind of, I don't know if they're seeing things that says, you know, maybe the Messiah did come, you know? He's like questioning their minds, you know? So, anyway, just
open the eyes of our hearts.
Yes, amen.
God promised he would bring back those that are his.
Yeah. Yeah, in the 17th chapter of John, in the 3rd verse, Jesus said, "This is eternal life." This is, you want eternal life, this is what it is. That you get to know the only one true God. And Jesus Christ, who he sent. We've got to know him too. I mean, if you want eternal life, that's what you do.
You know, I was reading in 1 Thessalonians, I think it was, and it was kind of amazing in probably 15-20 verses in either the first or second chapter. Paul is, the whole concentration is on God. You know? It's him he's serving. It's his grace. It's his mercy. It's his kingdom. But then it gets mentioned, you know, down further, but that comes through Jesus Christ. You know, but the fact is, made a huge separation there. I mean, it's, if you're reading it and you're open to seeing it, you know, not everybody will be. But, and then it was kind of, that's the theme a little in 2 Thessalonians and a little bit in Timothy. You know, it's like, they made the separation, you know? And they knew it was God that was in control and doing all these things, but it's through Jesus Christ that you relate, and it's through him that you become what you need to be that comes into God's kingdom, that he accepts, you know, that God accepts. It's your heart that gets changed because of Jesus Christ. And because it's his gospel that teaches all the things that it says we should be like, you know. It's his words that are, you know, like the Beatitudes and everything, you know, it's all the things that he says, you know, turn your cheek, you know, and love your enemies as much as your neighbor, and, you know, all them things were new concepts, and that's the purity of the gospel, if you can follow it, you know, I mean, so, yeah, it was just funny, it just kind of jumped out to me that how much it was relating to God, because he is the all in all, you know. But then it always ties in Jesus Christ, because without him, you don't get that part of God, you know? You don't get to be in his kingdom, period.
It's almost as though Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. Well, I'm half I'm being funny, half, hey, that was what the Messiah is all about.
And
God's, you know.
And Paul makes a comment. Because we are apostles of Christ. See? He doesn't say we're apostles of God.
Right.
We're apostles of Christ. Which makes a difference. And I kind of got a little meaning there that makes sense, you know, that, yeah, we're representing the one who is the way. And he's given us the way. And that's what we want to preach, you know. So, yeah.
Well, what it says in John 17:3, it says, this is the life eternal, this is the eternal life, that they would know that you, the only true God.
Mm-hmm.
What are the exceptions? What are the, what's the word I want? what other thing exists? If he's the only true God, then what else do we have? Doesn't that kind of take in the whole picture?
No.
You know what I'm saying? If they would know him, and by putting the word "and" in here, and they would know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So what happened? You know, we slowly begin to get a better understanding of Jesus Christ. We've been doing that for a long, you know, quite a few months, and the fact that we have come up with the fact that there was the truth that he is a man is major. That's a major thing, and a lot of today's church sees him as God himself, and they see him as a God the Son, and I say all kinds of things, but we don't have nothing in the scriptures to say that. That's not scriptural.
Right. I guess I need to make a distinction, because there isn't only the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's also the gospel of God, which overtly, I believe, is saying that the gospel he brought was the gospel of God, because it says that in Thessalonians. We preach to you the gospel of God. And then I'm just drop down two verses. That's in 9. This is chapter 2. That you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it as the word of men, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And then way over in chapter 3, verse 11, here's an interesting distinction. Now may our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, but there's a word in there that I didn't say. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. That's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's saying God himself, not the two of us, you know, or whatever. So, this, you know, it's my, there's so many of them little things scattered throughout that we never saw before. Hundreds of them.
I hope I'm not... I don't know this, so I'm asking it, and if anybody knows, and I should probably just go back and dig in that Old Testament more, but, you know, in that scripture that Keith read in the New Testament where it said, you know, cast out the slave and her son and the promises to the wife, Sarah, and her son. Mm-hmm. But I think if you read it in the Old Testament, it says, Sarah is the one that might, get rid of that, get rid of her, you know. And that made Abraham feel real bad, but God said, no, you do what Sarah said. You go ahead and do it. And then he also promised to all the blessings that I've promised Abraham, promised it through you, Abraham, will be through Isaac. But I'll also make a huge nation of Ishmael's people because he is also your son. So I'm just, I got this in my head, but I don't know if it's true. Do you think the main promise to Abraham is that then the Messiah would come of that seed? Is that what the prompt, is that it? Because I don't know. And where would I find that? I mean, because, yeah, I made a big nation. And then, you know, then there's Isaac. There's Jacob and Esau. And
right. And
the line goes to Jacob. And there's Esau's people are also big people, you know. And all that. So I'm just wondering if it's because the real promise, it wasn't this land, it wasn't this, it's that this Savior, this Messiah was going to come through this line. If anybody knows... Or you can point me to where I should look. I would like to know that. Because, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean.
Because he did. These were all descendants of Abraham. But this line was through here. And I don't know. And Jesus said, there's no way to the Father except through me. He is the only way.
So, the question is, if you're a follower of Ishmael, who is your Messiah?
The question is, what really, because it says all these promises to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is the promise, I'm going to give you this land, and you're going to be a huge nation, you can't count them? Or is the promise all that, and this Savior is going to come to you? That's what I'm wondering. Because I don't see really any big difference between Israel and the descendants of Ishmael, or heck, of Esau, when it comes to children as many as the sea.
From God's perspective.
Yeah, from God's perspective, I'm wondering, is it the Messiah? Is that what the name
is? A soul is a soul is a soul, from God's perspective.
What?
A soul is a soul is a soul, from God's perspective.
Okay.
So, I see we're trying to get. That's what I was trying to.
What's the difference? It's got to be the Messiah. I don't know what else the big deal difference would be. Mm-hmm. It's not children as many as the sand or stars, because all those nations, and they're rich and blessed in the natural that way. So it must be the Messiah, but I don't know where to. I don't know where to find that and prove it.
Is Abraham's seed connected to there?
Yes.
where it says you're promised because you're of the one seed, Abraham?
Well, I backed up into Genesis where he did cast out Hagar and Ishmael, but he also said he would bless them abundantly. He'd be a huge nation and everything, but he wouldn't partake of what... Does it go down to the Messiah? Is that the line? Is that what I'm...
I'd say. I mean, he said he'd protect... Was it Ishmael when he cast him out also?
Right.
He said, oh, no, I'm going to be killed right away because I'm an outcast. And the Lord says, no, I won't allow that. So,
right, because you're also from Abraham.
Yeah. So he would honor certain things to a degree, but in the ultimate end, it has to be, Christ.
Okay, that's what
that's
I would say, too.
That's what I would say.
But I would wish I'd find it in Scripture a little
bit. Doesn't mean he still doesn't. Yeah, he says he blesses the good and the bad with the rain and everything else.
Right.
I think certainly that it was the descendants that are going to result in the Messiah has to be a big, big part of it. On the other hand, Paul there in Romans talks about the natural olive tree and versus the wild olive. We are grafted in. So there is some blessing that is upon the Jews, even aside from the Messiah.
And why do you say that?
Well,
we're grafted in after, that's how Scripture is after the Messiah has come.
That's right. But there still is something special about the Jews.
It's those blessings that are...
Yeah, they continue, they persist after the coming of the Messiah. Now, in order for them to be realized, they have to accept the Messiah.
Right.
Otherwise...
Yeah.
But there is something special about the Jews.
Yeah, well, they're his people. They were originally his people, and he's never said they aren't.
As is Ishmael, though, I suppose.
Here's an article that says that in Islam, Jesus is considered the Messiah.
He is a what?
He's considered the Messiah.
First time I ever heard that one.
The Quran also refers to Jesus as the Messiah.
Man, and I know a lot of people who are follow Islam.
I think it's supplanted by the prophet.
That's a Google search, but I mean, under what is Islam? And it says the Quran.
Usually they say Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet. That's their main.
I think the Muslims say, okay, he's the Messiah, but people have gone astray by making three gods.
Oh, maybe.
And
that's
so the true word of God, the Quran, makes it clear that there is only one God and that Muhammad is his prophet.
Maybe that's it. I didn't study that. I studied it, but okay. Well, anyways, I think my question really was to the Messiah. I think the
don't they
there.
Consider Christians as being infidels?
Yes, they do. Anybody who's not a Muslim is an infidel, according to them.
Okay.
So not just Christians.
Yeah.
Everybody. Unless you're Muslim. Hindus, Buddhists.
Jews and Christians, too.
When I believe in Jesus and if they believe in Jesus, why am I an infidel?
Right. Yeah.
Well, because you believe in three gods, not just one God. But that would be their reason.
I heard that they considered he was like a good man or something. He was real. He was a good man. That's what I remember studying. But, maybe they change, like Jehovah's Witnesses. They change their doctrine to fit with...
And the Catholics.
Huh?
And the Catholics and the Lutherans.
Yeah. That's true. And us. We're just hoping. going to change to the truth.
Truth.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah.
And loving and wanting.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Here, I was not going to say a word today because I haven't been here for so long. But, oh my God, I'm really glad I'm here. So thank you, Susan, for praying for me that I would get here. I just have a very difficult time getting going. I mean, if you don't, you never see me till 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I have a terrible time getting going.
See, you're not the only one.
Yeah, me and you, Barbara. Anyway, but I started planning it yesterday morning to try to get here today. And I got a hold of Susan and said, please pray for me. I'm really trying to get there. I think we don't have to worry that there's Muslims preaching in Minneapolis. We don't have to worry that all these things are in the schools. We just have to worry about focusing on the truth and seeking God and teaching that to our people, you know, and children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And
pray for them.
And pray for them a lot. And then just, you know, because what? It can't happen in the natural.
No.
It cannot happen in the natural. They cannot. Charlie is absolutely right. If we had a government that was Christian, and they would say, okay, and those, you can't do those, but you can do this, for sure they'd be in this building telling us we could not be seeking God the way. We do not want that. We want the freedom to keep seeking God. And the tears and the da-da-da and get torn out at the end, really. And there shouldn't be fear about those other religions. There should be no fear about it because we should just trust God.
Yes.
And we should be seeking
Amen.
God. Fear of the devil.
And keep God in control of our lives.
Right, right. And he's trustworthy and we can trust him.
I think that comes back to the wheat, you know, the tares.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, because we're all here. Carol. And for some reason he chose it that way. And all different kinds of religions and different kinds of people and different kinds of thoughts and different kinds of things. And he never once said, okay, let's rip out those and let's take these away. He's waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my life, what I've experienced is he uses those tares to bring what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
In.
Yeah.
Possibly.
And it's happening in my family.
Mm-hmm.
The bad things that are going on are causing them to seek the Lord
mm-hmm.
and the truth.
See? So there
so
you go.
I have to pray, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
As much as it hurts and how hard it is, thank you. Because the results are more important.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right.
It's almost like I can picture myself as, you know, growing between the tears. Because you have to really work at it a little harder.
Yes, you do.
You know, and you have to really put your faith out there. And you have to really make the commitment. You have to step out. Because
you got to get your roots way down in.
You got to get your roots really deep. Because the tears can sometimes overshadow, and you've got to be able to break through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there is that. I mean, it's like that personal relationship, that personal walk, that personal commitment, you know. And God's just, he's waiting to see what blossoms.
And he promised he can't make a way.
Yes.
He did.
So I need that way through
That's
him.
Right.
The tears.
And he's the way.
and the
truth.
In the parable, they asked, Lord, someone's planted all these tares in here.
Yeah.
Should we get rid of them right now? And his answer is, no,
yeah.
Because you get rid of the tares, you're also going to uproot the wheat.
Right, because if Susan's growing there,
yeah.
You grab that tare, I pull her right out.
Right, I don't want that.
Right.
Going
to wait until the end of
time. Lord, just keep me in the right path.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that happening in my life and in others around me. And I praise him for it.
Mm-hmm. I am too, and I'm very thankful.
It's hard. Sometimes it's really hard to say thank you, but...
Yes. Sometimes you just say, I trust you. I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you.
I still me.
What'd she say?
She said, let's do communion.
Okay. Is it getting late? You can see the clock.
Bonnie's on a schedule.
I want to make one comment listening to all this. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, you know, I was thinking the sands in the hourglass of God's time is running out. It's getting pretty low. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
And you're not going to be able to tip this one over and start again.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is a good thing, too.
Mm-hmm. You want communion on the tape? Do you want communion on the tape or not?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Communion on the tape.
I understood that one, too.
Does he want communion on the tape?
Huh?
Do you want communion on the tape?
It doesn't matter.
Well, you know, maybe those that are up there listening to it will decide, hey, I can back this up and I'll have communion with them.
Okay, join
you
us.
Know? So maybe you can look at it that way,
yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, just we want to make sure that you know that we're not doing this in the name of Muhammad or anything.
Better read a scripture.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
On a serious note, I had two things that happened this morning. I shared the one about communion.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, it's in 1 Corinthians 11. Let's see, where do I start? Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Then he goes on to say about judging. And I kind of threw it out and said, Lord, is there anything? And he said, yes. So, before I take communion this morning, I wanted to probably address this mostly to Keith, but whoever else. I felt that maybe in the last couple months that in our discussions on Tuesday night or Sunday night or whatever, that I may have been putting out a contentious spirit. Or, I don't know. I think contentious is a really good word. And so I just want to ask for your forgiveness. And because in my heart I truly love you, and I don't want anything coming between that. So it feels good to be cleansed.
Let me say, Ken, that my reaction is not, he finally realizes it. That's not what I say in my mind. In fact, I kind of wonder.
Is it like he's contentious?
Yeah, right, a little bit. It's hard to know where the line is between the freedom to be frank and say what is on your mind and not have to worry about whether people are thinking are going to be hurt by this. And we have that freedom. We have that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Where that line is, and then the contention. Now, I guess if, you know, you are in a better position than I am to say whether you have an, or have not had a contention in your heart, you know. And so I am not saying to you, Ken, oh, Ken, you are so wrong. You know, if you feel that you've been contentious, then, you know, who am I to say you aren't? But it hasn't been obvious, and I want to thank you for having expressed it, even though it might not be just real outward.
And why take the chance?
Yep.
And why carry that along, and why give the enemy any ground?
Yeah. And you know, it's we're all human, and that's where I got to say we're all human, and the enemy can just put a little twist, even in your voice. Somehow, you know, or whatever, to where it comes across from. But, and part of it is just, you know, I'm human, and I'm not there yet, and so I've been trying to go before the Lord and get some things cleaned up, and I just want to start the year right. Not that the year has a whole bunch to do with it. You know.
I understand how you feel, because I think so often. We don't necessarily present ourselves to others as the internal way that we're feeling.
Yeah.
And it's internally that, you know, it's like we're saying, whoa, you know, and it's these contentious things that kind of build up inside of us, because I'm going, well, nobody knows that I really don't care for what they're saying, and I really don't like what they're doing, because it's all inside.
Right.
And it's
right.
An internal thing that kind of beats away at us, and by sharing it and saying, you know, I didn't mean to be that way, even though nobody can see it, it's the relief off of your own spirit that is like, oh, thank you, Lord, for letting that go. And everybody's going, well, gee, I never get that impression. But it's internally what we do to ourselves. And
I think the setting of scripture doesn't say it has to be public every time.
No.
But I just felt that
you felt
I mean,
and
that's
good.
And it's good. I mean, I just, you know, it kind of helped me. You know, I think back then and reflect, going, oh, you know, yeah, I can cover that up. You know, I don't think anybody knows.
Or you do it without even realizing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like your feelings towards and about and through and whatever. God bless you for, you know,
this. And I think what will also help a lot in anybody is if you humbly come before someone and say, gee, you've hurt me, or there's a thing and I want to get it settled, and maybe you didn't mean it that way or whatever, but let's talk, or let's, you know, it says that for sure to go one between each one first, you know. So, and I just think that because God's given us so many revelations in truth, that this is how you add to the foundation of truth.
Amen.
You know, is humility and humbleness before one another. And maybe that is why it kind of makes sense sometimes. Maybe that's why there is many among you are sick.
We can go forward.
Yeah.
And know that God's working on it.
Not everything has to come out in the open, but you know, as long as you make it right before God, or maybe before one other person, if
you
need to, you know.
I admire you for doing
that. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna say I appreciate you.
It's God.
And I'm gonna, because like we all keep saying, you're gonna get a big head about how wonderfully humble you are.
And
I don't want to do that, but. It has been a pattern through the years, Ken, that you are honest that way, and I appreciate it.
You know, it's kind of been the consensus in the last at least 5 years. It's pretty hard for anyone that meets in this group to get a big head. Because the thing that happens when God's doing what he's doing, his grace and mercy, is he lets, I've heard this testimony from every single one that I sit in a meeting with or whatever. You know, since I've gotten to know more of God's word, I find out how little I am. And you realize, the aspect of judging is going and going more and more away, because you realize All you gotta look in the mirror, you know, see the finger pointing at you. And it, and it's more evident now than it ever has been,
yes,
because God wants to clean us up.
Yes.
Know?
Yes.
And his sweetness about how he does it is so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just doesn't come and demand it. He works on you till you willingly want to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he keeps pointing it out, you know, which is the good part. I'm glad he does. You know, if he quits pointing it out, then I'm in trouble, you know.
Right.
Let me say in that spirit that, you know, I mouth the words to say, oh, it all comes from the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I'm good about getting that said. However, I'm not sure that, and I believe that. I believe that. And yet, for myself, gosh darn it, I take a little personal credit, a little bit of, aren't you smarty pants, you know? that's wrong. That's wrong. And so, Lord, forgive me for that and wash me of that tendency.
Yeah.
Wash me of that.
And so I suppose now, for Brian's sake, we better start praying about the wine and the...
Yes.
Now, when I put everything together, it was with gloves and everything, just so... And if I'm suggesting we should start with Jean and Charlie, whoever passes out, just to...
Well, we can serve you first.
Okay.
Whatever.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense now that you mentioned it.
You're kind of trying to protect you.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, or we can
serve ourselves. No, I don't think anyone feel okay with me just handling the plate.
Yep.
I can't hear anything. I must say, I like the red stuff.
Yeah, well, the other one was a request, and now I was, we've got, you know, in faith, I filled that up, because I was told that there was probably a lot of people coming.
Okay.
And in faith, we're going to need all this and more. There you go. That's me.
I see Susan had high expectations there.
I did. I do. And we will need more. There you
Susan
go.
Has lots of faith.
And that's good. That's perfect.
Well, maybe the angels will join us.
Mm. If those are empty, we'll know.
That'll be
pretty
exciting.
Okay.
That's a glorious spot.
Yeah. Nothing more to say.
It says in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." So let's partake of the body. Somebody can pray. somebody would pray.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the blood that you shed, Lord. And we thank you for the way that we can be a part of the shedding of that blood in however it occurs in this, O Lord. It'd be good to have a full revelation until that time. We thank you that we are able to partake of that which we see through a glass darkly. And we ask, O Lord, that regardless of whether we fully get it or not, that the work of taking in the blood that you shed would be done among us, Lord. Do that good work. Do that good work. More revelation would be great, but whether we get it or not, Lord, that work would be done by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
In verse 25 it says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And verse 26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. It kind of looks like a man, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So let's drink of the cup. Somebody pray.
I'm going to go back a little to the body and then the blood. Lord, I just believe you want us to be able to accept that you did that, and that we are willing to do the same with ourselves.
Mm.
That we're willing to give up our body and willing to shed blood for those. Now, it might not be in the same manner you did, Lord, but it's what it's saying is you died to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing, that we would die to ourselves. And when we remember that, that's going to put that fresh in our mind every time we do this with you in remembrance, that you did that. You were so self-sacrificing. So many times I lay in bed at night before I go to sleep and go, Lord, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you walked the way you walked, but I'm so thankful that you did and that you will help guide all of our paths in the same manner.
Amen.
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 Yes. Amen.
Well, they're going to stick too high, aren't they?
Glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me just tack on a little bit. You know, there are key thread from John chapter 6. And Jesus, after he had said all that about the blood, eating his body, drinking his blood, and people found that a hard saying, a bunch left, and then Jesus said, are you going to leave me too? And then Peter's response was, it wasn't, oh Lord, I have such a revelation of what you just said, I get it, so no, therefore I am not going to leave you. He didn't say that. What he said was, you have the words of eternal life. He's not
claiming full revelation. I don't think he had it. He's just saying, hey, regardless of what, whether I get what you just said or not, you do have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go?
Right.
Yeah.
Good point.
Tomorrow we're going to be facing some of those tears, and somebody's going to get hurt no matter what. So I just pray that's what we're done.
Okay. All right, Lord. Honor that request, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yep. Let your presence be
you
there.
Know, Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Lord,
yes,
you sort it out.
Yes.
And you bring good.
Yes.
To the best of, I mean, it may not always look good to us, but you do what's right, Lord.
You know. You know what's
and
necessary.
Just let your will be done in that manner,
we
Lord.
We trust you.
We trust you.
Let's
go with us, Lord.
Yes. And grant wisdom, Lord.
Yes.
And wisdom and knowledge, Lord, that would benefit if it, you know.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And keep the words that do not belong away.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord for the good report that Glenn got on his
physical.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't
only
hear.
Only four.
It's not growing and it's not shrinking, so it's kind of in a neutralized position. But he's going to have another specialist look at it. I've not heard what the report on that is yet.
Thanking the Lord for Charlie and continue that work.
Yes,
continue on Eugene also, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Susan and Char.
Susan.
Yes, and you.
And me.
Yes, Lord.
I had difficult days.
Charlotte.
I'm still here.
And Bobby.
Yeah. And guys.
Chuck, thank you.
Bonnie, how's Ben been doing?
Good.
Are they?
That's amazing.
I tell you, he's got the nine lines of cats beat.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of Jerome Lavinius. Just keep getting all these things.
Yeah.
Chuck Johnny.